talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. Some very important data, an article that's just come out, some professors at Milwaukee Area Technical College. I want to talk about this because we talk frequently about the top line controversies nationwide, internationally, but you have to understand what's going on in our own state. And this one really disturbed me. Remember the Republicans right now, gerrymandered legislature. There is a 2-to-1 advantage in the Senate, 22-11. Alberta Darling stepped down. That seat is in play, so they only have they have 21 senators right now. But if they were to win this race, and I don't think they will, we have a good candidate, Jody Habush Sinigan, but it's a gerrymandered district. In any event, they're going into Alberta Darling's resignation. They had a veto-proof majority in the Senate. They could again. I hope not. In the Assembly, they're 2 seats short of a veto-proof majority. So if that ever changes, Evers' veto will make no difference. And if for any reason in 20, I guess now it would be 2026, the next gubernatorial election, if they get it, the following that I'm about to describe will happen. The Republicans have proposed a flat tax instead of an income tax that's progressive or graduated, flat tax of 3.25% by the year 2026. They're going to step it up over the next couple of years. I want to tell you what that would mean, and it's dangerously close to happening because they're only 2 seats short of a veto-proof majority in the Assembly. Remember something, they can pull a surprise vote, and if somebody's on vacation or in the hospital, they can't vote remotely, and there are a couple of our people, they could pass this thing, and then Evers would not be able to veto it. Here's the deal. You have to understand that what it would cost the state, what it would cost the state would be in excess of $5 billion in revenue. Because what they would do is they would make up for the reduced revenue in increasing the sales tax a lot. The sales tax, say in Milwaukee, is 6%. Could go up to 10%, 15%, whatever they think. Be very similar to European VAT tax, value-added tax. They have VAT taxes in Europe that are 17%. It's a sales tax. You buy a jacket and it costs $100 and they charge you $117. I mean, that's literally what would happen. But what people don't understand is right now, the state contributes $1.3 billion a year University of Wisconsin system, and $1.3 billion a year to our prison system, corrections, which is sad in and of itself, that the same amount is going for higher education and incarceration of people. That's a total of 2.6. That's a total of 2.6 billion. If this flat tax went through, that's 51% of the revenue lost, and it still leaves $2.4 billion that have to be cut out somewhere else. K-12 education, environmental regulation, environmental policing, health care. They have to cut $5.6 billion to get what they want, $5.6 billion. Now, they're not going to make up for that in a sales tax entirely. They say they will, they won't. And this is very, very close to passing. In fact, it is going to pass. Evers will veto it, but they're so close to a veto-proof majority in the Assembly. And actually, they were at a veto-proof majority in the Senate, could be again. This could go into effect. What is the consequence of that? What's the consequence of that? That would, for the, guess how many people in the state make over $1 million a year? Guess what percentage? 0.4%. 0.4 of 1%. Not too many people. But they will each get a tax cut of $112,000 a year, as if they are going to miss it or need it. How many people by percentage do you think make between $500,000 and $1 million a year? Those together with those over $1 million a year, it's 1.4% of the population in the state, yet they're going to get 1/3 of the tax benefit. Now, how does the 2/3 of the tax benefit down there shake out? If you make 40 to 50 grand a year, you'd get 290 bucks. And you'd also be paying very, very high sales taxes. If you make 20 grand a year, you make a lot less, you're going to get a tax increase. Why? Not in the income tax, but because remember something. When you go out to buy anything, you go to a restaurant, you want to buy a jacket, you want to buy a baseball glove for your child, you want to buy school supplies, you want to buy clothing, anything that has a sales tax, it's bad enough that you're paying 6%. What if you had to pay 10% or 15%? Somebody making over $1 million a year is indifferent to that because they're getting $112,000 a year reduction in their income tax. But somebody making $40,000 a year, or 50 or 60,000 a year, or 70,000 a year, or 20,000 a year, or 25,000 a year, or somebody who's on public assistance, or somebody who is a single mom with two kids working at McDonald's or Walmart, and depending on food stamps, the equivalent, which right now are under attack too, they're going to be paying 10%, 15%, who knows how high they want to raise the sales tax. It's a net tax increase for people at the lower end of the pay scale. And I mean the lowest end of the pay scale. Even middle class people, anybody making 75 grand or 125 grand a year, you're going to net out a loss. Now, look, why are we doing this? And you may think, well, it's obvious, Matt. They want to give a tax cut to their donors, people that make over $1 million a year, overwhelmingly will vote Republican and contribute to the Republican Party. But you would be wrong to think that that's the only motivation. LeMahieu, this sort of colorless drab guy from the Sheboygan area, who's the majority leader of the Senate, who's pushing this, had an interview and a discussion about it. And here's what he said. The goal is to have no income tax, not even 3.5%, not even 3.25%, no income tax, and replace it entirely with a sales tax. Now, if you are going to replace our whole budget, budget is over $90 billion a year, over 2 years, our biennial budget, it's not all paid for by taxes, but a big chunk is. You're going to replace that with a sales tax? You know how high that sales tax has to be? That sales tax will be like a European VAT tax, and that's the holy grail of the Republican Party. There are national people who said the same thing. Let's get rid of the income tax. You can have a sales tax and stand by for this. This bill is being introduced. This bill is being introduced by McCarthy of 30%. You will pay almost 1/3 of everything you buy as a tax to get rid of the income tax and the corporate tax and the estate tax. That is madness. That is a destruction of the greatest and most powerful country in the history of the world, the United States of America. Because I'll tell you something else. If that passes, people will have to cut lots of other things. You can't possibly do that and still fund Social Security and Medicare. You'd have to have a 50% sales tax. some point, what do they want? You buy a jacket, you buy school supplies, you go to a restaurant and pay the full amount of the bill in taxes. So they knife people making anywhere from 20 to 70 grand a year, 100 grand a year. Many of these billionaires don't pay taxes anyway, but they're always worried that they'll be arrested for tax fraud if we ever get forensic accountants and lawyers back in the IRS, which were cut out by George W. Bush, effectively by starving the IRS of income back in the mid-00s. And I think it was around 2006, roughly around that area. Biden, in the Inflation Reduction Act, put in more funding for forensic accountants and forensic lawyers. And the first thing that the Republicans did, said, oh, they're going to come after the little guys. No, they're not coming after the little guys. They're coming after these tax shelters, which are so unbelievably complex that you can't take them to a criminal trial or you can't assess penalties without getting into the guts of them. And these accounting firms are going along with it, because they're getting large fees. You see what's happening? You see what's happening? The Republican Party here in the state of Wisconsin, through LeMahieu up in Sheboygan, the state Senate is going, you know, they have the saintly look, singing hymns up to the sky, going, oh, we'll get down to a 3.25% in 2026. Oh, will you really? Oh, will you really? You'll give 112,000 tax reduction to people making over $1 million a year. In the aggregate, people making over 500 a year up will get about a third of the benefit. And you've disclosed, and you hope no one remembers, that your goal is to eliminate the income tax. Anytime you sit back and think, oh, that'd be great, no income tax, you'd also have a Mississippiized state. You would have cancer in the water. You'd have a weakened University of Wisconsin system, K-12 weakened. You want to be Mississippi. I do not. And stand fast against this however you can. Going to a break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going to throw out a name. Tell me if you recognize it. James Comer. Jamie Comer. Probably do a little bit. He's been in the news because he's a Republican congressman from Kentucky. He also is the chairman of the Oversight Committee. The Oversight Committee is the committee that, among other things, is in charge of investigations, investigating Biden, investigating the FBI. Essentially, it's a committee largely of criminals who want to know what the FBI has on them. So they are investigating the Department of Justice. For instance, you have Marjorie Taylor Greene on there. You have Lauren Boebert on there. You have Paul Gosar on there. You have some real pieces of work. And these people, some of them ask for preemptive pardons. You don't ask for preemptive pardon unless you're afraid you committed a criminal offense in connection with the insurrection. In any event, I had initially thought that Jamie Comer, as bad as he is, and he is bad news, but that somehow he was a little more reasonable. He did say one thing that I thought was reasonable when it came to the classified documents in Biden's office and his home. He said, well, we'll have to look at this. However, I point out that people going back to George W. Bush, Clinton, Obama, presidents in general, when they move out of the White House, there's a ton of stuff. The staff packs it, they don't pack it. And if a couple of classified documents slip through, you know, that's understandable and you just return them. I thought that was right. And quite frankly, just so we put an end to this, that's different. Biden's case where one of his lawyers found it and immediately notified the FBI and the Justice Department, invited them to come in. There have been other things found. The guy was in the Senate for 50 years, going back to 1972, I should say, followed by vice president. So the fact that there'd be some classified documents among the ton of stuff is not surprising. And he called it on himself and invited them in. Now, you contrast that with a guy who takes 300 classified documents, 15 boxes, lies about it, sits on it for 18 months. Remember something. They only said, please give them back. That's all they said. Please give them back. The only reason they're investigating Biden is because they're investigating Trump. It's fine. But please give them back. Then he lied about it, subpoenaed in May, avoided the subpoena, loaded stuff on an airplane for New Jersey, is widely believed to trying to sell them. Putin says he's already seen them. That's different. He should be prosecuted. An inadvertent packing by staff should not be prosecuted. However, James Comer, whatever the merits of that, I dug a little bit of a guy, and here's the very sad thing about James Comer. When he attended the Western Kentucky University College, it's a college in Kentucky in the early 90s, he dated a woman named Marilyn Thomas. When he ran for governor, and Comer did run for governor of Kentucky in 2015, she came out with very disturbing allegations of how he'd abused her when they were dating. They asked her, did Jamie Comer ever hit you? She said, yes. And we're not talking emotional abuse. We're talking about hitting her. Then his lawyer, here's what his lawyer said at the time. He denies it, and there'll be a devastating lawsuit if the paper publishes it, the Louisville Courier. Well, they did publish it. You can find it on Google. And Marilyn Thomas back in 2015. And all the lawyer could say is, I've heard unpleasant things about her personality. Well, that's great. So why don't hit, what, you're going to hit her? Here's her other statement. He was toxic and controlling. He caused me a lot of suffering. He was abusive. His controlling and aggressive personality alienated me from my friends and my family. He threatened her and belittled her, and she had to move away from Kentucky. Quote, everything I did, everywhere I went, and everyone whom I interacted with had to be approved by him. This is a bad guy. The consequences were violent and swift otherwise. Oh, really? Then he became enraged at her in 1991 after he drove her to an abortion clinic in Louisville. And the abortion clinic said, you have to have a ride home. She said, I do have a ride home. They said, write down his name. She wrote down his name, Jamie Comer, because he's the guy that was waiting to take her home. He got angry and abusive towards her at that, saying she should have used a fake name. Her roommate in college, Wendy Curley, said that they had a very, very rocky relationship. Why do I bring this up? Because this guy's the head of the oversight committee, and he's super sanctimonious, and he wants to investigate Biden. He shouldn't be in Congress. Going to the lines, Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Gene? We have a couple of minutes to the break.
Okay, it never ends, and we definitely got to get these guys out of there. They have no business representing us. They all are masochists. They all have really nasty attitudes toward women, which is very obvious, even in our state. I want to bring up that thing with this conversion therapy that they're trying to push through is okay in our state when psychologists have said this is very detrimental to people. I think it's ludicrous. I think they all should get it for child abuse, and it's just messy. I mean, these people are crazy, and they're nuts, and they're harmful, and they're hurting our country, and I hope people are paying attention. Flat tax, evil deal. We're really going to be hurting if they start doing that crap. So anyway, Matt, thank you so much for covering the subjects we need to hear. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, Gene, those are great comments. I'll respond now and then after the break a lot more. Two things. First of all, with regard to Comer, a guy who had, if the woman said he hit her and then he had a violent response if he didn't approve everything she did, he drives her to abortion clinic and yet he's for the Dobbs decision. Who the hell do these guys think they are? I mean, come on. Come on. Is anybody out there concerned about this on the Republican side? And I'm going to talk about the conversion therapy issue right after the break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to follow up with one more comment on Jean O'Claire calling him. Raise the issue of conversion therapy. Conversion therapy. Some courts, and the question is going to be, how about Wisconsin? Because courts are all over the place on this, but that adults have a constitutional right. They have a First Amendment right to get whatever therapy they want. So nobody's interfering with that, even though it may be ill-advised. But with kids, you know, say a 17-year-old, you want to leave that in the hands of real professionals who have some judgment and discretion and training. And the kid may say, all right, I have these issues and blah, 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 and you give them therapy. However, there is this notion that somehow you can strong-arm them. And if a kid is genuinely LGBT and he's 17 years old, you just in this kind of therapy, and it depends on how inexpert they are, they just harass the hell out of them. And it's not scientific. It's not scientific. And so some states have passed anti-conversion therapy laws that damage these kids who genuinely are LGBT, and you don't want that. And frankly, the Republican Party is hypocritical as heck on all these issues, because if you scratch the surface of all these people, you know, there are laws against having drag shows in Texas and elsewhere. I don't know how constitutional they are. I don't think they are. And then you have George Santos, okay? And then you have the Dobbs decision. They all say that's terrific. And then you have Jamie Comey of Kentucky, abusively shouting at his girlfriend when he drives to an abortion clinic for listing his name as her ride home. I just am so tired of talking about all of these hypocrisies. They've got to, at some point, occur to people who are voting for some of these folks. I want to talk about Ukraine, some disturbing developments, and I want to weigh in on something. Ukraine has been begging for high-tech tanks to drive back. The Russians have lost so many men, so many troops, that they're now sending wounded people back, people from mental hospitals, homeless people, people in prisons, and so forth. And there are two high-tech tanks that they want. One of the so-called Leopard tanks from Germany, the other the Abrams tanks from the United States. Germany will not send the Leopard tanks. Why? Because Germany invaded Russia in the 1940s, the Nazis murdered millions of Slavic people, millions of people in Ukraine. And they're afraid that if they do, the Russians will come after them, even though they're members of NATO and we defend them. I want Biden to send Abrams tanks to him now. Send them, Joe. Send them. You've been magnificent in putting together a NATO alliance against Russia. Magnificent. You really were. And getting them the 50-mile HIMARS. I want them to get 130-mile HIMARS. But these Abrams tanks, the Wall Street Journal has come out and said they should be sent. And several senators have, including Lindsey Graham, Trump's lapdog. And yet he came out urging that we send Abrams tanks. Blumenthal of Connecticut, White House of Rhode Island. And I don't think, and McCall of Texas, who's a Republican, head of the Foreign Affairs Committee, send them the tanks. Send them the tanks now. Now, these Russians are simply committing genocide. Now, the latest development is a far-right group in Russia that Putin controls. They're sending letter bombs into Spain. Why Spain? I don't know. Maybe their postal system isn't as secure. They're sending letter bombs to high ups in the defense industry, the Defense Department, senior politicians. whoever gets blown up in those things or loses their fingers and their hands, usually your secretaries or people in the mailroom, they don't care. The Russians don't care. Here's what's really happening. There was a special CNN in Fareed Zakaria. When I say a special, it was one of his segments, but it was very, very compelling. They showed video from people going into the jails where the Russians held and tortured Ukrainians. They just grab Ukrainians. If there's a woman that interests them, they rape her, sometimes in front of her husband and her kids. They're Nazis is what they are. But in these jail cells, there's blood on the wall. And they force Ukrainian prisoners in there to write confessions with their own blood, saying they're ashamed to be Ukrainians and they want to be Russians. Well, they'll torture them some more. They also force the Ukrainians. Now, this one really blows me away. It's right out of the novel, 1984. If you've never read 1984, and a lot of people read it in high school, 1984 by George Orwell, written in the late 40s, it is the starkest indictment of Stalinist communism you'll ever read. 1984, read it. And this reminds me of something right out of that. They force them to read Russian poetry. Now, wait a minute. You'd think that's a joke. I read it in school, but you'd think that's a joke. That's not a joke. They get tortured if they don't, so they read it. Now, has Russia ever produced a decent poet? The answer is yes. It produced Pushkin in the 19th century. Pushkin, and he wrote a novelette called Eugene Onegin. They made it into an opera by Tchaikovsky. I am as tone deaf as a bullfrog. I can't act worth a damn, and I can't dance worth a damn, but I really enjoyed this thing, and so I was what's called a supernumerary, an extra. Eugene Onegin at the Skylight Opera Theater put on back about 25 years ago. And, you know, I can't act or sing, but I can hold the dueling pistols or I can hold the drink tray, that kind of thing on stage. I really liked it. I got off on it. Well, it was good stuff. So they don't have to be ashamed. Why do they have to torture people to read Pushkin? But they weren't having them read Pushkin. They were having them read Stalinist stuff. We're going to the lines. Joanna Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Joanne?
Yes, thank you so much for covering these issues, and I'm resonating with what you're saying, but I have a deep question. We have so many right-wingers who are defending just bizarre authoritarian dictatorships across the world openly. Not just Tucker, but I have to admit that I listen to some of the right-wing talk shows because I've done research in this area. And people will call up and say, I'm for Putin and all that. Who are your neighbors? Our friends. And what I'm wondering, is there something going on that there's just this oppositional setup going that whatever we are as left wingers, they'll be against. Okay, if we're supporting the Ukraine, the Ukraine, because that's the way Putin says it, supporting Ukraine, and of course, what can we say? How can we balance this out? I mean, this oppositional notion is the only thing I can guess is happening, because it's almost impossible to defend some of these dictators who are destroying people's lives across the world. And I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Thank you so much for doing what you do.
Yeah, Joanne, thank you. That's a very profound insight. And your idea that it's oppositional, and by that, everybody, I think what we're talking about is, if you're left and right, whatever, there has to be a whole basket of issues, and you reflexively, if you're on the left, have to be against everything anybody on the right says, whether or not analytically you think about it and say, well, maybe that particular thing they're not wrong on, and vice versa. And Joanne, to answer your question, I think that is the truth, because I have talked to a number of people who I would say are right-wingers. They voted for Trump. And down the line, you know, immigration, abortion, everything else. And yet, when you bring up Putin and the Ukraine, and you're right, it's not the Ukraine, because that's the term that Putin uses to make it sound like just a region of Russia. It's Ukraine. It's a country. It's his own country, and it has been for 30 years. So, and by the way, it was part of Poland at one time. Russia stole everything to get its hands on. You go back to the 18th century, Russia, Prussia, and Austria divided Poland up in the 1790s, and Poland didn't exist again. It's not on the map in the 19th century. Didn't become on the map till after the First World War. And then the Nazis grabbed it a few, you know, a couple of decades later, and they've suffered under now the Nazi Russians. But in any event, to get back to Joanne's question. So people who are oppositional about all these other things, they figure, well, we better throw Putin in too. And I've had them say, here's the deal. Putin, in trying to reach out to him, claims that he's against the cultural things that they themselves are against. So in other words, he's against LGBTQ rights, abortion and all this. But here's where they founder, Joanne. It's also illegal to buy a gun in Russia. And yet the Russians and the NRA are cozy. And I've often wondered about that. Money, and this is, I think, more than just suspicion, goes to the NRA. The NRA goes over there, the leadership, and is very cozy with the Russians. So everybody, if you're listening, if you're a Trumper, if you are so oppositional that you have LGBTQ, you have abortion, you want Trump, why are you in bed with a guy who bans guns in his own country? And I'm not just talking about banning assault weapons. I'm talking about a pistol. If they catch you with a pistol or a rifle in Russia, you're going to prison. So why are you not opposite? Why are you so oppositional that you will endorse Putin and the genocide in Ukraine and the sadism in Ukraine, and you're not concerned about that? And yet, if any Democrat says, well, you know, guns are fine, but I do draw the line on assault rifles, which were banned in 1994, and George W. Bush let the ban expire. They have been banned. And in 1994, the NRA, look it up, the NRA supported the ban on assault rifles. And if you think about it analytically, just think about it. You're not permitted to have nuclear weapons, neither am I. Chemical weapons, biological weapons, bazookas, shoulder-held missile launchers, or machine guns, or submachine guns, or automatic weapons. You're not permitted to do it. And nobody says anything. You want to know why? Because you don't want your neighbor to have a nuclear weapon. And you don't want your neighbor to have a bazooka and then rent an apartment near O'Hare Airport and shoot down commercial airliners that you might be on. It's a line-drawing problem. The whole idea of a Second Amendment was originally a liberal idea. In medieval times, peasants couldn't own weapons. If they were caught with a sword, they could be executed. In other words, the king didn't want the populace armed. And George Washington, our founding fathers, said they have a right to bear arms. And I know this business about the militia, I'm much beyond that. You do have a right to bear arms, but you don't have a right to have nuclear weapons or chemical weapons or bazookas or submachine guns, and you don't have a right to have assault rifles. And if people, because they're like machine guns, an assault rifle right now is more lethal than a machine gun was in the 1930s when they were outlawed. So give me a break. And yet what, you like Putin? He'll execute you or throw you in jail and then poison you if you have a weapon in Russia. So to Joanne's point, which is a very good one, if you're going to be oppositional with some integrity. And the answer is no, they're not oppositional with any integrity. And because Putin says he's against abortion and he's against LGBTQ rights, well, that's good enough. And they may be not paying attention to the fact that you can't legally buy a gun in Russia. And here's something a little deeper than that. Why don't you call the NRA? Remember the NRA, call the NRA and say, is it true that you've gone to Russia, you guys, the leadership, and you like Putin? Why do you like a guy who bans guns? I thought we were for guns. And they'll shine you up, down, and say, well, we're for guns. We're working on Putin. His heart's in the right place. You know, if you're a criminal or mentally ill or wounded over there, he'll give you a gun as long as you go to Ukraine, and as long as you don't shoot your commanding officer. Tired of this stuff. Got to go to a break. The lines are open. Live. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Believe me, baby. I know it, baby. You know it, too.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I see you on the lines. I'm going to take you in order, and I'm going to say this before we do. Remember Thursday, January 26th, promo, $1 million free advertising giveaway, $1 million. Start at 9 a.m. only on Thursday, January 26th, a few days from now. You can snarf up 20 grand, maybe more, of free professionally produced radio time for your small business, your friend's small business. Somebody in town has a small business. You could tell them about it. It's a very big deal. Be sure you do it. One of the lines, I'm going to take you in order. I'm going to get to everybody in the line. We're going to start with Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind today, Wisco Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, Matt. I equate it to fishermen, outdoorsmen. They like to fish, but they don't worry about forever chemicals in the water. Cities like Waukesha want to get their water from Lake Michigan, but forever chemicals there too. So two things very quickly. United Citizens, you need to fix that somehow, and then we come. All the stuff comes back to gerrymandering to me. Gerrymandering, United Citizens, and that's it. Thanks, Matt.
Well, you're absolutely right. And on gerrymandering, remember, there's a Supreme Court race. February 21 is the primary. April 4 is the general. It's nonpartisan. Janet Protasiewicz, keep that name in mind, Protasiewicz, good, strong Polish name from a great area in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Janet Protasiewicz, she outraised all of the other candidates in this filing a couple of days ago. She was 3-1 over her closest competitor. She raised more in the last year in the filing period than all of them combined, and she has a 10-1 cash on hand advantage over the Honorable Reverend Mitchell of Madison. If she gets in, we will end gerrymandering. If Dan Kelly or Jennifer Doro get in, they will keep up gerrymandering. They will also not certify any Democrat who wins the presidential election 2024. It's as simple as that. And the Honorable Reverend, he hasn't come right out and said what he would do on gerrymandering, but giving him the benefit of the doubt, he's not picking up support. A lot of reasons. We've talked about that already. Please, you must get out and vote for the Honorable Janet Protasiewicz. She is terrific, and she will get rid of gerrymandering. Going back to the lines, Bill of Shorewood, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind Day. Bill of Shorewood.
The flat tax is on my mind. The LeMahieu and Robin Voss and the Republicans and so on, they keep saying that a flat tax or no income tax at all will help us comparatively in interstate competition because it will attract business people and of course prevent the outflow. Well, the data doesn't back that up. For example, Georgia, the state of Georgia, has an income tax, whereas Florida does not. And the data shows that 15,000 more households moved from Florida to Georgia than the reverse. Similarly, North Carolina has an above-average income tax for the Sun Belt, but 18,000 more households moved from Florida to North Carolina. And this illustrates something very important. It's net benefits that keep people in your state. What does the state offer people relative to the taxes that they have to pay to produce those benefits? And schools,
health programs, parks, libraries, streets, roads, sewer, water, clean water, not poisoned with forever chemicals, that kind of water. The American Society of Civil Engineers has given us terrible grades on our infrastructure in harbors, bridges, broadband, and all of that stuff. And that's what we need to be investing in to produce the kind of net benefits that will attract people here. We're losing young people. We're educating them, and then they leave because of the net benefits are better elsewhere. This is not a crime, you like the Talleyrand quote, this is worse than a crime. This would be a blunder. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. Yeah, that's a great one. He was a statesman in France in the 19th century. They come to him, somebody had an idiotic idea, he'd go, it's worse than a crime. It's a blunder. Well, here's the deal. Bill of Shorewood just brought out a very, very important point. And I had talked about the tax consequences of this flat tax earlier in the show, that people over $1 million a year get 112,000 lower taxes. People over 500 and up, including over $1 million, get a total of one-third of all the benefit from it. But we spend $1.3 billion a year on the University of Wisconsin system, $1.3 billion on prisons. We spend everything else that they're going to have to cut. They're going to have to cut $5.6 billion. Where are they going to cut it? I've been to Mississippi. I like Mississippi. I like the people down there. You know where I go? I go to Tunica, Mississippi to play in a World Series of Poker tournament, which I enjoy doing. It's legal. Yes, it's legal. You don't have to call in, okay? Here's the deal. And by the way, I once played in a game with Chris Moneymaker. You may have heard of him, poker champ. This Moneymaker, and I bet he dropped. Nice guy, but in any event, I do not want to live in Mississippi. Why? Because they don't pay, there's no money going for things I'm taking for granted in Wisconsin. If the Republicans stay in power, if they ever get the governorship or if they ever get a veto-proof majority, they are Mississippi-sizing the state. Now, you've heard that term before. It's trite, I know, but it's very true. We already have forever chemicals in our water because of them, because of this Fred Pren, because of their legislators. However, you are going to have water in the state that you really don't want to swim in or boat in if this keeps up. They've already started to drain the water in this state through deep wells, you know, that kind of thing. If they keep this up and they ever get in true power and they cut out environmental enforcement, they are going to make our University of Wisconsin system a shadow of what we have right now. And our K-12 system, nobody's going to go to it. They are economic vandals. They are economically illiterate. You must understand that. And then they give $4.5 billion to a Chinese company to cheat them in Foxconn. That's what's going on. Coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers, as always. Matt Flynn Direct will be back. Same time, same place tomorrow. And I'm signing off for today.